Welcome back to the Roundtable on a Friday morning. It is 9:13. It is the October the 14th. It is Friday. I have a panel here today. It is the Roundtable panel. WAMC's Alan Shartok. Good morning.
Hi, boss.
How you doing, boss?
Yeah, how you doing?
Director of the Journalism Program at the University of Albany, Rosemary Armeo, is here checking your email. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Can you please extinguish your mobile device?
I believe
now?
We're going to discuss that later in the program. Devotion to one's phone.
And Barbara Smith is here, walked in the nick of time, author and activist. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how is everybody?
Nice to have you here. Now, okay, panel, I have bad news, is what it is news, and very good news. What do you want me to start with?
Good news.
Good news.
We'll start with the bad news. The bad news is this is the last roundtable panel for about a week. Because is what it is news, the fun drive begins on Monday at 6 a.m. We can't keep the station going without it. The good news is we have this lockbox, and we are already at $366,989 before the fun drive even begins.
Now, you say that as though that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Well, I beg to differ.
All right, sir.
It's not good. It's how much to go? Like 30-something thousand dollars? Is that what it is?
Before we make the challenge.
Yeah, the $10,000?
Yeah.
Well, we've only got today. And basically, we know a lot doesn't happen on the weekends. We hope it does. But we're 30,000 something dollars short to get where we're going.
$33,010 shy of the $400,000 goal.
Well, for all those people who've been waiting and saying, let's see where you are, and I'll throw something in if I have to. Yeah, you gotta. This is it. This is the time. And we can't do it without you. I tell you, I'm full of hope that we can do it. People have been saying to me all morning, why are you looking so, you know, at odds and ends?
Crotchety is really the way I describe
because
it.
Because I'm scared, to be honest with you. I'm just scared.
Yeah.
I need help for, you know, by people dialing 1-800-323-9262, extension 0.
Right.
Or going to WAMC.org, and say, okay, Alan, I'll give you $5. Okay, Alan, we'll give you $5,000. We're all in this together, you know. It's our station.
And the fun drive begins, the on-air portion of the drive begins on Monday. And, you know, every now and then you get an email to the roundtable. It says, you know, you spent 11 minutes talking about the lockbox. How dare you take away from our panel? But I got to tell you,
right,
I find it a tad irritating.
Because I find it a lot more than a tad. Well, I find it a tadpole.
Well, here's the problem. If we talk about it for 5 or 10 minutes on this program,
yeah,
we potentially shorten the fun drive by day, and we're back to the roundtable. So your lumps.
Look, here we are in the most significant election of our time. I don't think there's any doubt. There are those who posit it this way. You know, we could go to towards the democracy, or we could go towards, I'm going to put my opponent in jail approach. This is a very important election, ladies and gentlemen. No matter how you feel, you don't want us to be raising money as much as we all love to be together. Put it in now and get it over with.
That's right. And I'll see you. Hopefully, you'll be in a better mood Monday morning at 6 a.m. when we start.
I will be in a worse mood.
I know. It always is the case. All right. So let's start the show. I'll start you with a brief précis of some of the events of yesterday, and then we'll let the panel have at it. Donald Trump contends he doesn't know and never even met some of the women accusing him of sexual assault, rejecting his claims of being the victim of false stories. Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama say Americans are learning more about Trump's unacceptable behavior every day. At a campaign rally in New Hampshire, Michelle Obama said she was shaken to the core by comments that Trump made, in which he is heard on tape bragging about how his fame allowed him to, quote, do anything to women. Four women have told publications about stories of encounters with Trump that ended with groping, kissing, and other unwanted sexual advances. He denied those allegations again yesterday. He has threatened to sue the New York Times for printing the claims of two of the women. The New York Times says, bring it.
Bring it.
That's meanwhile, the Committee to Protect Journalists has declared Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump a threat to press freedom. In a statement issued yesterday, the media watchdog said that it issued the statement unprecedented in its 35-year history because Trump has consistently betrayed First Amendment values. Now, somewhat humorously, the group said it was not picking sides in the election, but rather recognizing that a Trump presidency represents a threat to press freedom unknown in modern history. Interesting. And then there's that whole WikiLeaks business. A new batch of hacked emails from Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta's account. They indicate that Clinton's 2008 presidential campaign had tried to move the Illinois Democratic primary to a later date, believing it might help her. Hillary Clinton privately said, according to the hacks, U.S. would ring China with missile defense if the Chinese government failed to curb North Korea's nuclear program. It's a lot to chew, but we have a panel of chewers here. Who wants to go first? All right, the show's over. Fine.
We had one letter that you'll be happy about who said, go, Ray, go.
Okay. Right. There's the
door.
There's
hardly anything left to be said about Trump. I think Michelle Obama said it yesterday in an amazing speech that is rightly gone viral. It's all over the internet. She's filled with passion and emotion and absolute good sense, which has been in very short supply in this election. I think Donald Trump doesn't recognize his victims because he was not looking at their faces. So, of course, he doesn't know them. He is awful. He continues to... Wow, when you think of all the people who might have been president and didn't make it. Hubert Humphrey, Henry Clay. Go back in history. All the great people. Or
Gus
even
Hall.
Gus Hall, perhaps. He's in Trump's area. But here is the man who is the best that the Republicans could offer. It's so distressing. I'm getting less and less coherent about it.
Barbara?
I had wanted to talk about Michelle Obama's speech from a different point of view, which is as a black woman, because I found it completely fascinating that it was a black woman who was functioning as the moral watchdog, the moral arbiter for this society, for this country, when I have lived through times and perhaps still am living through times when black women were considered to be the lowest of the low, and also specifically around morality and sexual morality. So the fact that it's a black woman saying, these are what our values are, this is what you need to be paying attention to, it just really was incredible to me, unprecedented to me, because it shows to me, it's just one more indication of what the Obama presidency has resulted in, because that's not the usual thing. Black women have often been the moral compasses of the context in which we are permitted to operate. It's not that we haven't been, it's just that we certainly never have had that kind of a broad stage of saying, these are what our values are, these are the kind of men I know, this is what I want for our children. I just found it completely fascinating.
Well, Roselle and I watched it, and I have to say, we had tears in our eyes. We just couldn't. I mean, the thought that came to my head, and I talked to some of the people out front in the office there this morning, is why couldn't she be the candidate? You know, why couldn't
she certainly would have the favorables, unlike the ones who are actually running.
She wouldn't have them as soon as she started running, because we don't like strong women who are ambitious. And a part of her popularity, aside from talent and intelligence and all the obvious things, is that she has expressly said over and over again, I don't want to be in public office.
That's true, Roseanne.
So we love her.
A lot of people say that and then end up in public office.
Well, we'll see. I don't. We were talking about this earlier. She was never really a lawyer. She was a hospital administrator. I see her going back into health, or maybe a seat on the Supreme Court.
You have to be a lawyer to be a president? I think that is a mistake in itself. Hey, let's take a break here, and then we'll come back and we'll keep going with this. It's the Roundtable panel. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Union Gables Mansion Inn, Saratoga Springs, celebrating 25 years, providing a historic bed and breakfast with hotel amenities to individuals and businesses, uniongables.com. Mizzentop Day School, Pauling, a co-ed pre-K through 8th grade independent school with small classes and an emphasis on values, academics, and community. Explore, experience, discover, mizzentop.org. Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing nature gifts, bird seed, bird feeders, and more to help create a backyard refuge, wbu.com/Saratoga Springs. And Union College Concert Series, presenting the Belcha String Quartet, performing works by Schubert and Shostakovich en route to their Carnegie Hall concert, Sunday, October 16th, 3 p.m., unioncollegeconcerts.org.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. Beautiful Friday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It's our panel today. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Barbara Smith, and you at home. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Anything in the mailbag?
There is, but one thing I wanted to say, and I think Barbara had something else to say about Michelle, is that if you look at her, she doesn't look down. There's no prompter. There's no. She is speaking from her heart. And you can tell that, as opposed to, you know, the other politicians who just can't just speak from their core.
Well, she's not running for anything, so if she makes a mistake, it's not going to be fatal. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the reason
that's a great
point. You have to be so careful if you are either in office or running for office is because, as you know, any misstatement, any turn of phrase could be just off and running with your opposition.
As much as I admire you, I don't agree with you.
You know, you don't agree. That's why she doesn't.
I don't agree with you. I think there are some people who have the ability to just talk and to make it seem as if they're talking to you. And you know who else has it? Her husband.
That's correct, and they both spoke yesterday.
But he does use a prompter often because, as Barbara notes, it's a much higher stakes when you are a head of state or running for office. Look at Trump.
Barbara's lawyer?
No, but when Trump was running early, much was made
well
about the
represented,
fact that—
I'm well represented.
That he never used a prompter, and then he got into all kinds of trouble, and then he used a prompter, and
false equivalency. Are you really comparing Trump to Obama?
One of the role models that came out from Obama's speech was her husband talking about it later. He made a campaign appearance, and he goes, "Did you hear that speech Michelle gave?" And everybody applauds, of course, because it had gone viral. He goes, "Yeah, she did pretty good." That kind of support and obvious admiration for a woman was in such amazing contrast to the way Trump has been talking about women that it really made an impression.
Not only did he say she did pretty good, but he went on to say that's why you get married, because you want to improve your gene pool.
There you go.
And he said you want to have your children be superior to you. That was just, I love that.
That was, it was a really, but I mean, it shows off all the time. He really has been the family values president.
Right.
He doesn't even have to talk about it. You just see it in the pictures.
But don't you think that's partially because of her?
Of course, marriage is 50-50, they tell me.
Well, it should be.
why do you sound skeptical?
Because in my case, it's 80-20.
But when you say partially because of her, are you talking about the family values part of it? Are you talking about the success of their marriage, which we can define?
No, I'm talking about values.
I think they have shared values.
I would also like to say that Hillary and Bill are the same. They've had many more problems, at least that we know about, than the Obamas. But they remain together. And I still will remember when Bill Clinton was giving the speech in 2008 at the National Convention. Hillary was overseas, and a picture of her sitting there watching him on the screen, and her face had that same look that Obama had, of pride and like, wow, that's my guy. I like that.
You know, it's
great.
I think Bill Clinton's many things, but I don't think he was ever accused of being the family values president.
There's a value of marriage and respect for women that in both of those cases.
Rosemary, I have great admiration for
but I certainly don't agree
with you. I think now you sound like, you know, you're sort of a an apologist for the Clintons, you can't compare what you see in the Obama marriage, at least what you see, with what you see in the Clintons.
I certainly see them as being different kinds of relationships. I don't think that Obama, first of all, I don't think that he has a proclivity to breaking his marriage vows, and then I don't think he would want to humiliate his wife that way. Do you see what I'm saying?
I have great respect for you, and I agree with you.
Yep, indeed.
I don't think Bill Clinton wanted to embarrass his wife or himself in that way. I think he is a weaker person than Barack Obama. In that area, absolutely. And I do see similarities in a determination to keep a marriage together. In other words, to keep the vows even when there's been transgression.
But you don't think that that Barack Obama would have ever had the inclination to do what Bill Clinton
That's not what I'm saying.
Or FDR.
I think Bill Clinton.
Or JFK.
He mentioned FDR. JFK.
All these three initial
Taft
guys.
I mean, who knows, right?
Indeed. Can I just want to elaborate on the point I was making during our first segment about the remarkableness to me of a black woman being able to speak as a moral leader in this nation. Loving versus Virginia. There's a film that's coming out, I think, by the end of the year about the famous landmark case that ended the laws in many states against so-called miscegenation, which was a white person marrying a black person.
Right.
And this case was brought by a couple, obviously from Virginia, a white man, a black woman. And the thing is that when the law of the land defined a relationship, a marriage between two people who are different races as illegal, I mean, that shows the status, I think.
And it wasn't that long ago.
Well, I was in college.
Yeah, yeah.
It was decided when I was in college.
Right.
To me, I mean, even though I haven't been in college for a number of decades, it's within our lifetimes.
Absolutely.
That was the case. And that meant that every year up until that point, it was that defined our value.
Barbara Smith.
Are the lack of worth of our value.
Barbara Smith is here on the panel today. Rosemary Armeo as well. Alan Shartok. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. Welcome back to the Roundtable on a Friday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It is 9:33 on your Friday, and our Roundtable panel in full swing here, Barbara Smith, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok. You at home joining the discussion by emailing us at roundtable@wamc.org. And let's check the old mailbag, Alan.
I will, but I want to make one observation.
Yeah.
You said, you know, your Friday. You just said your Friday.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is something very specific to our area up here. Everything's your.
Really?
Yeah. You're the waitress brings you, the waiter. The server brings you water. So here's your water.
Well, it is your water.
I know, but everything sort of takes a your.
Are you saving this monologue? You're working this up for the fun drive? It's a focus group? All right. Let's workshop this.
Okay, here we go. Panel, after seeing the poll numbers on the news this morning and seeing about a 10% difference between Clinton and Trump with Gary Johnson taking about 10%, I have to wonder that Johnson is going to screw up the election for one of the candidates. By the way, he made a point like that. He said, you give me enough electors and I'll throw it into the House of Representatives the other day. Hmm. That's it. That's the pitch.
I think that's unlikely.
God, he is an idiot.
That's unlikely.
No, I think you're right about that. Denise says, what does Denise say anyway?
I don't know.
As a black woman, I agree with Barbara Smith about the amazing scene of Michelle Obama representing the moral compass of America. That's very good. I agree with it. And I also say you don't have to be a black woman to have felt that way, because I certainly felt that way.
But you would understand the historical irony.
Absolutely.
Paradox.
Absolutely. You made that perfectly clear.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did this ever happen before?
So David says, a fun goal. I've never donated and always felt bad. Your opening today shamed me just the right amount. So I threw in on your website. Now, take the word your, get rid of the Y, and you got it right, which is our, all of ours, because we're all in this together.
That's right, comrade.
I think we're getting a preview of the fundraiser.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. Hang on, I'll double up on my meds before Monday. It'll be fine.
Patrick says, good morning, Roundtable. The election could be set up for the 2020 presidential showdown between Michelle Obama and Paul Ryan. Could be.
Interesting. I don't see it.
Well, it gets back to my point. I mean, many a person has said, I'll never run for office, and then groundswell of public support, and they run for office. I could see Michelle Obama running for office.
And she also has a number of years to change her mind.
Sure.
I can't imagine anybody who would wish to do it after having been subjected to what she's been subjected to.
I mean, Hillary eventually wanted to do it, right?
Pardon?
Hillary eventually wanted to do it.
Yeah, like from the day Bill got elected.
I think from the day she probably hit Wellesley. I mean, a lot of us have our aspirations the day we get to college. And the thing is, that would have been an improbable thought because we're the same generation. It's like, no, that couldn't happen. But the thing is that she had high aspirations.
We all did.
And there's a wonderful picture going around the internet that shows Bill and Hillary as college students, and the little bubbles are over their head. And he's saying, hey, do you think someday one of us, or maybe even both of us, could be president? And she's saying, yeah, right, as soon as Bob Dylan gets the Nobel Prize.
Right. That's great. That is so good.
Nice.
Clever.
Jamie says, every time Trump moves up in the polls, he would find a way to snatch defeat from the grip of victory. It's quite a large circumstantial evidence pool that seems to indicate that the new Roger and me news empire is the true goal. Best start with a demon president to focus on. I don't agree, but
you say it, we read it.
You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Julius, our old friend Julius.
Hello, Julius.
He dropped out for a while, but now he's back.
Oh, good.
Impeachment, question mark. If Trump wins on November 8th, the Republicans will impeach him using the sexual abuse charges against him, putting Pence into the Oval Office and Paul Ryan as second in command.
I think it's much more likely that Clinton gets in and she is impeached.
No.
And
yeah,
by the way,
for what happened with the email server? Come on.
We're already talking about impeaching her.
For what? The Clinton Foundation? For what?
Email. National security.
That was not when she was president. I don't think you can impeach for that.
Yeah, you can.
Juan says, oh boy, there's so many of these. Juan says, good morning. A question for the panel. Is Syria worth going to war with Russia? Russia has an S-300 surface-to-air missile in theater that can enforce a no-fly zone. I'm speaking as a veteran that does not want to see us go into unnecessary wars. HRC, Hillary, has an actual track record of supporting such wars. And that's from Juan.
She also has a record of going for a coherent policy, which we absolutely do not have anywhere in the Middle East. Syria and Russia are part of a bigger piece. It's not going to war over Syria. It's going to war, if it comes to that, which I hope it will not, over stability in that entire oil-rich region.
But that's not what she would want to say in an election campaign.
No,
because she
not.
Was part of the administration. She was Secretary of State. If you're saying they don't have a coherent policy, then that's back to
it's
her.
It's Obama who does. No, I don't think that's true. I think she really did have something she wanted to do then. It wouldn't work now. I mean, some of the things that she's being blasted for now absolutely would not work at this stage. They might have then, and she was not the only one who called for them. It was Obama who held us out of war. And he may have been right to do that. It's so messed up there. It's really hard
to... So you're speaking of the red line in Syria?
The red line was a good example, yeah.
John says, family values. I love the comment about President Obama being a true family values president. I usually recoil at the use of that term because it's usually a tool for the homophobic politicians. Now I can visualize its true meaning. And that's from John. Very nice. Thank you. And from Barry in Greenfield. Good morning, panel. It is important to comment on the completely unhinged 50-minute rant Trump delivered yesterday in contrast
to
Michelle Obama's beautiful, heartfelt words. It was his worst ever. My fear is it'll stay in politics after his loss in November and have a worse effect on our democracy than the rise of the Tea Party.
So let me ask you a question, and this is purely hypothetical.
Sure.
I want to hear your thoughts on this theory. If he, in fact, went into the primaries not expecting to win, but only to improve his brand. Okay, let's just posit that as a possibility. His brand would be sunk now, right?
Depending. I've heard people talk about the network that he can start now with his, 35% of
35
the electorate?
35% to 40%, they reckon.
It's 40%.
Everywhere.
You look at the Times today, it's still 45-40. That's what it is for Hillary. That is the scariest thing. That number has not moved. That number has not moved, that 40%. And the big question for us as Americans is, what the heck is that all about?
This reminds me of Kellyanne Conway, who's on Anderson Cooper, and she's saying, it's just deplorable. Why are her numbers so low? And he goes, what are you talking about? Your guys' numbers are even lower. So you have his own surrogate, his own campaign manager, who's saying somehow she's at fault for the numbers being so close. And, of course, what she was trying to get at was how she is distrusted. But the reality is that the country is deeply divided. And this is not really... a mandate just on the two candidates. It's on what's at stake. That Supreme Court thing, if there were not as many seats open as there were, I think you'd see a bigger difference. But many Republicans hate Trump, rightly, but don't want a Democrat in there picking Supreme Court candidates.
Sarah says, Barbara Smith, can we have Barbara Smith on every day? She lists the conversation in such wonderful ways. There you go.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I really appreciate that.
Uh-huh. And another Sarah says, love the roundtable. And titles her communication Love Note. Love the roundtable so much that I just pledged as a sustaining member. That's where you put a certain amount of money.
God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah. We're in Albany County only half the year, half in the city, but the roundtable sustains me year-round. Especially appreciates your willingness to call Trump as he is, complete with the terrifying shades of Nazism, and wowed to find the brilliant Barbara Smith on the roundtable.
Oh. Where are all these? Wow. You pay these people? Where are all these friends? What's going on?
And our good friend Don, who always has a good sense of humor, maybe not in this, I haven't read it yet. President Obama, as November 8th approaches, I'm being increasingly aware of how much I will miss President Barack Obama. I will miss him not only because of his policies, some of which I disagreed with, but because of his calm and thoughtful demeanor. Barack Obama behaved presidentially and brought honor to the position and our country. I thank him for his service, and I will miss him as Commander-in-Chief. Don, I'm glad it wasn't Kidding Around Day, but I certainly agree with that. Let's see. We heard from Joseph, who said, I'm interested to hear the panel's take on Mike Pence. Is he playing his cards correctly?
Interesting. And Pence said he's blaming the media and Hillary for what he characterizes as a discussion of slander and lies targeting his running mate, Donald Trump, which he has to say that if he's the running mate. But what does he really think?
Well, last week, when it was just about the Access Hollywood tape, he was clearly pulling away and didn't go to that event in Indiana, and et cetera. Now it seems like it's like back and forth. It's a really complicated situation because, of course, he's like that traditional family values person.
A
very conservative, not to say right-wing, person with right-wing perspectives who is tied to this. To say he's a loose cannon, that doesn't even begin to describe this individual.
And as a career politician, it must be somewhat at times terrifying for him to have to deal with the fallout all the time.
Well, he's between the same rock and the hard place that everybody else is.
No, he isn't.
Yes, he is.
Paul Ryan was the Speaker of the House. Mike Pence chose to be the vice presidential candidate. He laced himself to this crazy person whose views on women were not unknown just before the tape came out. So Mike Pence got himself into this out of sheer ambition, and he is a despicable person. His views on women, while he's not lecherous, he hates women. He no abortions, no rights whatsoever, no freedom of choice. And added on to that, unlike Trump, he's horrible to gay people.
Is it funerary services for if you have a miscarriage?
Talk about that's okay. Horrible law.
Okay. Now I just want to say that clearly, if people didn't get it, if you have a miscarriage
in his state,
you have to prepare a funeral for the miscarriage.
Grotesque.
Yeah. Okay. Rosemary, I don't think we really have any differences. I think you took some umbrage with my statement.
He put himself in a hard place.
He may have put himself there. He may have. I don't think he would have done it if he didn't know if he knew what was coming. But now he
What?
Can I just finish?
Oh boy.
Phew.
All right now.
So.
It's just like being at a dinner table.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've had enough of this.
No, look, he runs for vice president. He thinks he's going to be the vice president. Or he thinks he is now in a preeminent position to be president when this is all over. And that he'll be running.
I think his motives are. He wanted that national, even, tying himself to somebody who we knew was despicable.
Now, who was he before that?
Right.
So now he's in position. Well, I got Barbara Smith on my side. I don't need much more.
Barbara Smith is not on your side. Please speak up, Barbara.
I just wanted to say that Andy Borowitz from the New Yorker.
Andy Borowitz.
Is he?
Of course.
No, he's not our Andy Borowitz.
Yes, he is.
In the sense that
he likes us.
And he's doing a performance for us.
He does things for us. He's not our.
Oh, okay. But the person who writes for the New Yorker who has that name, he had this column recently about how like if when they were talking about maybe Trump having to step down and Pence coming in, they said his thesis was that then we would have somebody who hates, as Rosemary just said, who hates both women
and
gays.
Yeah.
We're trading a person who hates women for one who hates women and gays, which is more equal, actually.
You have to
read it for the satire.
He's very funny. I consider it one of Trump's hateful legacies on us that Mike Pence is now a politician of national stature, where all of the indications are that had he not been the vice presidential candidate, he would have lost. He would have been a has-been politician
Indeed.
In the middle of the country someplace.
Indeed.
And now
we
have to contend with him. It's sort of like McCain and Sarah Palin, elevating Sarah Palin. That really enriched our political culture for the past.
Yeah, but Sarah Palin really got knocked out of the box when you think about it. She's a national joke now.
And I hope to say the same about Pence.
Matt, I don't know. I don't think it's the same. Matt says, Alan just doesn't get it.
True. Sad. About what?
Sadly, this election is a binary choice, and anything other than support for your desired candidate aids the opposing candidate. To me, you're waxing poetic about Michelle Obama's ability to communicate values as a swipe at Hillary.
Interesting.
Difficulty doing the same. Oh, come on. Will you please?
All right. Now, can we just take a 30-second timeout here and take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll get back to the mailbag?
No.
Could we?
Yes.
Could we? Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. Roundtable at WAMC.org. It is the Roundtable. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC 949. All the discussions here in Studio A. That should be a premium for the fun drive. You get to sit and listen to this.
Yeah, I had a friend who said, you guys have microphones. How would you like it if all the
all
the breaks were recorded and put online?
Going to grab this show by, well, we won't even bother going there. Any more emails?
So, yes.
Joshua says, Pence.
Yes.
Mike Pence 2020. No rights whatsoever. That's going to be his thing. All right.
Well, Paige from Maine will be his running mate.
While I have, now. Says Barry, to got to... Oh, are you through? No, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Did you interrupt?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I didn't take you for an interrupter.
Show us, interrupt us.
55-45. While I've got to wonder who the 45% still voting for Trump, morning meeting, it's 40 actually, meaningful to me is that 538 Nate Silver analysis, which is based not on the votes, but on probably the numbers will be sustained. Silver is now projecting an 86% no. He's presenting an 89% probability of it.
Yeah, but that's different than
the numbers.
The polls show the split, that 10% split. He's talking about probabilities of winning. He takes into account where those votes are.
Yeah.
In other words, electoral college. So they're two separate numbers, both interesting.
Yes.
But different.
And before the show, you were very much extolling the virtues of the electoral college.
I have repeatedly said since I was a kid, why do we have this?
Right,
so
but now you like it.
Oh my gosh, now I am seeing the genius of our founding fathers. Thank you, Thomas Jefferson.
Because
it's going to keep a crazy person from getting in.
What about when your crazy person doesn't get in because of it?
I think I'll still see the sense of it. Superdelegates is the same thing. The founding fathers had this fear of the mob rule. And we've seen that happen in, say, Egypt, for example, in places that don't have the same checks and balances we do. So, I have a new appreciation for the founding fathers.
Yeah, but the founding fathers did not give you... the founding fathers didn't even... know that we're going to have something called political parties, which they call factions. So go read your Federalist Papers and all.
Ah.
What?
Good shot there.
Thank you.
Well done.
I just wanted to prove that I once knew this stuff.
You did.
The truth is the system they set up worked even with the overlay of political parties on the country, which they did not predict. They also didn't predict that women would vote, that blacks would vote. There's a whole lot they didn't predict 200 years ago. But the system is so sound at the base, it's grown to incorporate all that.
Wow.
Okay. Ted balls me out appropriately. Alan, please consider being less scared and more hopeful. I am a believer in the glasses half empty.
Oh.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
should have been at the fund drive meeting yesterday. Oh, boy. Just
well,
a
I told
grim
the
face on this dude. You don't even want to be there.
I told the story of Steve Solander at the...
That was great.
I told the story of Steve Solander. They decided, the staff decided, we had a pre-fund drive meeting, that they didn't really want to be there. I mean, I knew that. They didn't really want to be there. So our wonderful Colleen, the head of the fund drive, gave her report. And it lasted for about 10 minutes. We served pizza, did we not?
Yes.
You know, we served pizza, did we not? And I actually ate some. And then it was clear that they were not going to say a word. Nobody in that room was going to say a word to get out of there fast. Okay. So I told them the story about Camp Bronx House. And Steve Solander, who is a master social worker, who decided, by the way, we decided we wanted to go to the Newport Folk Festival.
And you wanted to leave the meeting early, as we
That's
did
right.
yesterday.
So we decided that nobody was going to say a word, but the master social worker just decided he'd give a speech for a long, long time. And I threatened you guys with the same thing
yesterday.
Indeed you did. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm glad the fun drive will be over in a week or so.
Barbara's looking and said, what the hell are you talking about?
I really don't.
Barbara, hey, listen.
I don't either. Just tune out, Barbara.
Welcome to the club.
Just sit back and let him go.
I did hear Newport Folk Festival. I got that part.
And right. it was the one where Pete was allegedly chopping down the electronic connection to Bob Dylan's guitar, because remember
he was so upset about it. That was a big deal, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Big deal. Okay, Willard says, question, Will McMorris from Albany says, what will happen to Pence when Trump loses? Is he still a senator? Or is he
senator,
out of
He was
job?
Never a senator. He was
what
an
happens
in,
when
in,
Pence,
Indiana
Pence.
Governor.
Yeah, he's a governor. Yeah, yeah, right.
And no, he won't be governor anymore. He was up for re-election this year before he signed on.
And you think
VP.
He was going to lose, right? That's what you
That's
said.
What all the indications were. He was doing very poorly.
Because he wasn't allowed to run for two offices, which is often the case.
Correct.
Sometimes,
correct.
Like with Marco Rubio, he could, apparently.
Right.
Yeah.
And he changed his mind. Originally said, I got to get out of this, and now he's back in. Yeah.
Hello, Alan Chartok, spelled wrong, says Trump's numbers are stuck at 45%. No, I said 40%. Somebody else said 45. Is in poll 35. Tracker poll average, Trump's numbers have dropped from 44% to 38 on 10/11. Yeah, there are a lot of different polls. But if you read the New York Times today and you take a look, you know, you got that thing where they show what the chances are, and then you press on that, and then you press on national polls, you will see that the amalgam of national polls is 45 for Hillary, 40
now,
for Trump.
Given the onslaught from the media and various accusers, does it surprise anyone on the panel that his numbers are hanging where they are?
Yes.
No.
I'm very upset. I mean, I don't know who these 40. I don't know who the 40% is. I don't get it.
I could say who they are.
Yeah.
Hillary and I won't use the word deplorable.
Yeah, Hillary said.
Who they are people who feel so vindicated for the first time that they can remember to have somebody in this highest position, that is the position of being a nominee, a candidate for president of the United States, who are saying, we're making the world safe for hate again.
Yep.
We are making the world safe for racism, xenophobia, misogyny, you name it. And that's what he's done. He's carved out that part of the populace who really is dissatisfied with all the social and political transformations of the last half century.
And by the way, I didn't
there's always 25 to 30% of the population is always contrary. A president who had a 70 to 80% approval rate is extraordinary. I don't think we've had it. And so you're never going to win them. You're never going to make it, you know, 90 to 10. That's just impossible in a country like ours, which is incredibly diverse, where we are accepting of all kinds of people, even if they're deplorable.
And
I'm
has
sorry.
A history that goes back to the Civil War.
Yeah.
For God's sakes.
Yeah.
Okay, my sister, I want to read hers. Judy from Chatham Center said, Trump doesn't, quote, love women. On the contrary, he actually despises them. He wants to control them, may even be afraid of them. On the other hand, Bill Clinton really does care for them, and as opposed to DT, Donald Trump, he is sincerely attracted to them in capital letters and is attractive to them. I really object to any comparison between their actions and predilections, and that's my sister. I've been fighting with her for years about this. What he did in the Oval Office, that was wrong. What is wrong?
I actually secretly harbor some of these same thoughts. I've never expressed them publicly because I think I'm wrong. Bill Clinton has a daughter. He has a granddaughter now. What he did was despicable. Monica Lewinsky, I understand why Hillary called her a bimbo at the time. I think I had some of those same impressions. I thought her family was horrible to allow her to behave in that way, and then exposed her later to Vanity Fair, where she poses, dressed up like a model. It's horrible stuff. But the truth is, Bill Clinton has a lot of responsibility for that.
Yeah. I mean, and should you not shame someone who would be a victim in this case by calling him a bimbo?
I did at the time, and I feel two ways. That I don't want women treated badly, but I don't like this new view that women can do anything, bearing the nipple and all that stuff, and men have to just take it. No, I think it's two ways. Women have to act responsibly, and that means also standing up as hard as it is. I do not blame the victims, but I don't want victims to not speak out for 30 years until they have an excuse. We need to stand up and do for ourselves. So I blame Bill Clinton, and I want the victims to act differently in the future.
Whoa. Do you blame Hillary at all?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I also, and Barbara, you can talk about this, I never blamed her and Bill for not supporting gay marriage. I think at the time when they went along with civil marriage. Yeah, I know. But I think when they went along with civil marriage at the time, they thought that was the best that they could do. They did later say, no, get rid of it. We're now the time is right. It can pass. I'm for it. I never saw that as, Bernie portrayed it.
Well, the thing is, it wasn't so much a gay marriage. It was like the don't ask, don't tell. And the Defense of Marriage Act.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things. Those are the policy decisions that really put them on the wrong side of history.
They thought they were being progressive.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
They really thought that this was the best I could do, and at least it would improve lives temporarily.
Anyway,
40 seconds before our news
break. Okay, Samantha says, thank you, Rosemary and Barbara, for the outrage about Mike Pence. Stanley comes across as reasonable when compared with Trump, but he has done so many terrible and abusive things to women and the gay and lesbian community, and we all need to be reminded of that. Thank you all for the discussion.
You're welcome.
Did you want...
You got 20 seconds. Depends. How quickly can you work?
Trump's conundrum. Seems amazing. Trump wants it both ways. On the one hand, he's all about his virility, his stamina, his ability to get things done. And on the other hand, when it comes to his locker room comments about women, he was all talk and no action? Question mark? Give me a break. Which does he want us to believe about him? All talk or all action?
Well, on that happy note, let's take a break. It's the Roundtable on WAMC. Another half hour to go here of the Roundtable panel, and we will be back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC, 11 minutes after 10 o'clock Friday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Alan Shartok is here in his WAMC hat, Rosemary Armeo, and Barbara Smith as well. Now, we started the hour.
Yeah, we did.
We had about 366,000 in the lockbox. Now, an hour into the Roundtable, we are at 373,000.
Which means we need 27?
A little under 27.
We need and now 20. If we don't get 27, we don't get the $10,000 from Jane Kane.
Right. Not Jane Keene. She was on the Honeymooners. No, Jane Kane.
No, and also she's running for vice president.
With Art Carney.
No, right. Mm-hmm.
All right. So the email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Apparently, Rosemary is so youthful, she doesn't remember the Honeymooners. Email.
I remember the Honeymooners, but that last conversation was
you don't remember Jane Keene? She was on the show prior to Audrey Meadows?
I do remember her.
Remember?
Could not have recalled her
name. Jackie Gleason's wife?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, and I did not know that either. Well, I never liked that show because I never thought it was funny.
Oh, God, you were just so
out of it. Because you don't like fat people.
Oh, come on now. I have great respect.
I have great respect
for people. I never would body shame.
No one has more respect for fat people than
all right, why don't you read the mail, Norton?
Tom says, dear panel, this morning's panel members and discussions are so good, I had to put my pledge in the lockbox right away.
You see. Play along, Rosemary. Barbara, come on.
Help us
out here.
The pledge is in the honor of the Obamas, both of them. I can't add any more comments. You have said it all. And then we heard from Diane, who said, "I don't know all the details of Bill Clinton's affairs, but weren't they with consenting adults?"
More or less, I guess, if you call
not
an intern
Paula
a
Jones,
consent.
Actually,
not
the word
young
is probably
girl.
Misspelled here, but what Diane says, weren't they with consulting adults?
No, consenting.
No,
well, maybe
I know
the intern was consulting about something.
We are comparing Bill's extramarital affairs to Trump's sexual assaults. No, we're not. We're just simply saying what Bill did wasn't right. And that's what all of us have said
right.
here today. And, you know, part of why I think Trump may lose this election, and I'm not sure yet, but part of the reason I think he may lose this election is people think he's nuts. I mean, you know, there comes a point at which you are so over the top that you know, the people in the middle say, no, this guy couldn't be president.
I think it's on balance. I think that messaging that I talked about around racial animosity and fears, all of that is in his favor.
Okay,
and I think that's a part of the great loyalty to him.
Well, that's right, and that gives us a good line into the next letter. Who are the Trump voters? That's a little longer than I like to see in letters, but I'm going to read it.
Okay.
There are three. Thank you, Ray. There are three classes. One, the true believers. These are the people who really believe Trump will save them by his policies, whatever they are. The usual suspects fall into this category. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the stick-it-to-the-man voters, protest voters. The elites of both parties support Wall Street, not Main Street, and they want to send a message. They don't necessarily believe Trump. To these I say, did you learn nothing from Brexit? And three, and that's the letter writer, Barry. Three, the party believers. These are the Ryans and McConnells, et cetera, who have pledged to support the R's. The Republicans could never vote liberal, could never vote for Hillary, et cetera. They know they need to hold their noses when they pull the lever, and that's from Barry of Del Mar.
No, clearly there's a fourth that Barry is not including.
Please.
And it is those who would say, I don't like Trump, but I really can't stand Hillary. And it's the same Bernie bunch that will say, I don't like Hillary, but boy, I can't stand Trump. I'm going to vote for Hillary. Those Bernie followers who are hardcore, who are going to pull the lever for Hillary, it's the same bunch. And that, I think, is the key category here in this election.
Did you want to say something about that, what Ray just said? No? About the Bernie people who are going to support, pull the Trump button? You didn't want
to
say
that? No. Pull the Hillary button.
The Hillary button.
Yeah, the studies all show that Bernie's people overwhelmingly have come over, as logically they must.
Right.
To Hillary.
But there's quite a number that still say, well,
the scary
Hillary.
Part to me, Ray, is still the male-female divide. That if only men were allowed to vote,
yep.
Trump could win, would win.
Yep.
And that if he is stopped, it will be women who stop him.
So what about the rest of us? Like, I think of myself as a man, and I wonder what you're really saying about me. I mean, is that a put down? You know, that because aren't you putting all men into one category?
That's not
there?
A put down. That's about research on the voter base and how people have been voting.
Right. They didn't
cycle
mean that you
after
would.
Cycle. It's all not right. individual.
I took
personal.
It as an insult.
It's trends. No.
Barbara, don't encourage him.
Yeah, you know
okay.
Us.
Sarah says Ray is incorrect.
About most everything, but I mean, what
Jane Keane played Trixie
oh,
in
that's
the early
right.
days.
Yes, you are correct. You
Sheila
are correct.
McRae, Gordon McRae's
you are so
ex,
right.
took over for Audrey Meadows once the show was filmed in Miami.
You'll make a point.
Are you ashamed?
No, not at all. I was born in 1964. Are you kidding me?
I was born in 1941.
I only watched the repeats.
Are you kidding me? Fran says, panel, missing Joe. Ray, no offense intended.
Yeah, whatever.
Shouldn't we also be talking about Donald Trump's assault on men? Doesn't his characterization of his comments in locker room talks suggest how he thinks about men as well? I've never heard such deplorable and disgusting sentiments in any man's locker room that I've ever been in. As a non-athlete, I haven't been in many locker rooms, so I couldn't really report to you. Okay, Ronald says, lockbox. Thanks, kids. I listen every morning. Just sent in my contribution to the lockbox. Come on, folks. Let's get that...
Yes.
$10,000. That's to Ron.
Maybe you should keep the panel going during the drive. Look at all the money we brought in.
Well, I hope you're right. I'm afraid you're not. I'm scared. I'm really scared. Let's see. John says, Michelle Obama, can you imagine the loss of morality, intelligence, community service, and leadership if we get a Trump when we lose? Okay. Whew. Okay.
25 days to go until the election. Okay. And not a moment too soon, people.
What about Faso? That's in the 19th.
Right.
He supports Trump, embarrassing. Well, to be honest with you, I don't know that that's true. He has said he supports the ticket, but he doesn't know if he's going to vote for Trump. What he says.
Another one of these Republicans who want it both way and won't take a moral stand. I think Zephyr Teachout has a point against him.
Now, it's important for you to tell everybody that Zephyr Teachout is a personal friend of yours, right? Okay. I mean, that's important
that's good. Full disclosure.
But I do make friends with people who have the right political stance.
Right. And you don't like other people, right?
Yeah. Well, that's wrong.
I have to work harder at it.
I see.
Nadine says, Clinton versus Trump, Bill Clinton's sexual advances were with consensual permission. I knew that, but it said, it didn't say consensual in the letter. Does anybody remember what
it was?
It's
just a little consulting.
Consulting, yeah. It was probably the spell checker.
Yeah, that's what happened.
While Trump's sexual advances were attacks on non-consensual adults. Makes a big difference. Again, Bill is not running for president. Well, that doesn't mean Bill was off the hook.
There's a big black mark on his presidency. It will be in the first line of his obituary.
Dear panel, I keep hearing you guys say how disgusting and despicable Bill Clinton's indiscretions were, but seriously, it wasn't as bad as you guys make out to be. Yes, it is bad, but what president has been perfect? He makes all human beings, by the way. He makes a mistake to get over it. Cheating is a lot more common than you guys make it seem. No, I think that's true.
But it wasn't cheating. It was groping a girl. She was just an intern. That's bad. And Paula Jones did not invite his attentions.
I think it was cheating, Rosemary.
I think it was more than a girl.
No, cheating, I take it as, you have an affair with someone else who consents. The cheating on Hillary was actually worse than that because it was sexual harassment. It was assault on a young girl.
Are you forgetting the blue dress?
No, I'm not forgetting it at all.
Hi, says Hi. Mark. There should be mandatory drug testing for anyone running for public office, especially the president, in light of Donald Trump's recent performances. Well, nobody has been able to, say that while he was sniffling, a couple of people said it was cocaine. But in fact, I think you'd have to prove that to be able to say it, wouldn't you?
And people were saying they thought it was a nervous tic. He doesn't do it when he's doing his bombastic,
right,
big arena speeches. So,
mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay.
Certainly has gotten a lot of attention, though.
Well, it can be annoying.
It was so bizarre. It was just so, I had not noticed it during the first debate. Noticeable during the second.
And Maureen has an interesting letter here.
Yes.
Maybe Hillary was hurt and angry. Dear panel, I can relate to Hillary calling Monica a bimbo. When my husband cheated on me with a woman who was 12 years younger than I called her worse names than that. It took me years to understand fully that he was more to blame than she was. Maybe Hillary was not abusive, just hurt and angry, and that's from Anonymous.
I think that is a common response when somebody is the person, you're dealing in your mind or either in reality with the person with whom your loved one cheated. No holds barred. I mean, it's the most horrible experience.
And she kind of rightly had to have noticed that she was superior in every way to each of those women who Bill Clinton is known to have gone after. And that's very hurtful, too. They were not younger. They were not prettier. They were not smarter. They were not more loyal to him. It had to be especially cutting that having committed to a difficult marriage, to being a really remarkable woman, she was still put in that position.
Dinah says, hello, just now Miss Armeo expressed the idea that women, this actually came earlier, today seems to have the sense that they can bear the nipple, do anything, in quotes. And like her, I regret this change. She may be getting pushback from other listeners since, quote, the popular thing today is to have few limits. I'm with you, Rosemary. Women need to use a little common sense, though men also need to show restraint.
Yes.
Yes.
I will not show nipple on this program. I hereby tell you that right
Thank
now.
Thank God.
Yes, exactly.
And Richard
Take
says...
Take your shirt off.
All right. Let's make it rain, baby.
Alan didn't slight Hillary. I don't think Alan slighted Hillary by complimenting Mrs. Obama on her talent to communicate. Just because Hillary artificially speaks in her lower register like Tia Leone... does on Madam Secretary, is Hillary's problem
show.
Not Michelle's? Hillary could use to lose the strange voice and be a bit more genuine. And that's for
All
Richard.
Right, I'll give you 30 seconds, panel, to express your astonishment, and then we'll
Don't
we'll
even understand
here.
That one. Is this person asserting that Hillary's tone of voice is manufactured?
Well, it's wanting. I think I take away from that letter that it's wanting compared to Michelle Obama's.
And Hillary knows that too.
Well,
though.
As I explained during the break, and now I'll explain it on
Good.
The air.
Please.
The advantage that Michelle has is that she was raised in the black church, and anybody who was raised in the black church learned how to express themselves verbally, orally, whatever, in speech in a way that is quite remarkable. And that stands with us to this day. I never took a course in public speaking. Didn't have to. I was raised in the black church.
I got to tell you, you host this show next time, okay? You have it.
You know, right. Until Obama and his wife came along, I always thought Jesse Jackson was the best political orator I ever heard.
I don't agree with
again,
that.
Again, that's three now people.
Okay.
Well, not Barack.
I
don't
agree. Alan doesn't agree, but we're out of time. Alas.
Good. I love that.
So Rosemary gets the last word. Rosemary,
no,
thank
Barbara
you. Have a great
did.
Weekend. Barbara, thank you for being here. Alan, yes. Boy, it was an interesting program. And there's more to come, boys and girls.